You're listening to Triple Radio on the Fat Gatsby Network.
Start it or what?
Bro, should we start it?
Yeah.
Oh my guys.
Start it.
Should we start talking?
No.
All right. Thanks for listening.
All right. Well, good night. Bye.
And goodbye.
Boom, boom, boom.
This has been Mega 64.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Fat Gatsby's Triple Radio, I guess.
Hi, Cam.
How are you?
This very intimate.
So we're
drumming circle.
Yeah, we're sitting in a hippie circle around one single microphone.
Yeah, like a few months ago, I had a party and a bunch of random people. Well, not random. I invited them. We did a podcast where people kept appearing on the podcast, and this might be like that if George shows up. But right now, I'm here. Ben's here.
Hi.
Mahoney's here.
Yo!
Yeah.
Weiss is here.
Yeah.
And Dave's here. And we're all in the same room again.
Yep.
Yeah.
Once again.
Yeah.
Well, so cozy, but it's not blasting. Was it blasting hot or blasting cold in that room? It was around winter time, but I feel like it was hot because there were so many bodies.
It was hot.
It was hot because of bodies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Body, yeah, I feel like I turned on AC that night just because the people.
But the AC is on.
It's so warm.
Yeah, yeah. Open this door and
it's fine.
Let it breathe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so despite having a party to celebrate, like, oh, Tim's having a kid, so we're all going to get together and play games. Because, you know, he's not
the last time ever.
Yeah,
no, you're like, fine.
Oh, well, here we are.
You know what? Yeah. No, I called that at that podcast, how my wife said shenanigans.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I was, like, the one who suggested this big-ass game night, and she's like, you play games every night. What are you talking about?
Yes, I do. Yeah, well, it just didn't make sense that a bunch of people would be able to get together.
Yeah,
right. Or I'd have the kid. I don't know, whatever. We just brought the kid today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
you brought your kid.
He's holding the mic right now.
Yeah, we were in Rochester today-ish.
We were in downtown Rochester.
We are there now.
We could not have been more in Rochester.
Yes, I know, but are we in Rochester now?
No,
we're not.
We're not even in Monroe County anymore.
Yes.
We aren't?
No.
Right now, recording.
Wayne County.
Shit, we're in Wayne County.
Oh, you live in Wayne County?
I live in Wayne County.
I wish I had known this. There's a bounty out on my head.
A bounty in Wayne County.
I know, Ben.
Damn it, this is a setup.
It was a honeypot. Run!
So I was going to say, we are currently, not even in the same county as Rochester, apparently.
Yeah.
But we did meet in Rochester at the Strong Museum of Play, the world...
National Museum.
Famous world strong...
It's really strong.
It's world
strong.
It's world strong.
There's nothing stronger than world strong.
Yeah, we went there.
Never
and,
forget.
checked things out, and Moni brought his kids, and I brought my kid, and George brought his kid, and we saw him like twice.
Yeah.
And hopefully he shows
hopefully
up.
He'll make it here.
That was crazy.
Yeah.
So is that the first time at that museum for you three?
For me, definitely.
Second time. I've been there, but not since they redid it as the museum.
Right, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Because we all grew up around Rochester,
right.
So I think we all...
Yeah.
I don't know, Mahoney, if you had been there when you were a kid, on like a school trip or something, when it was just like cases of old creepy dolls.
Yeah.
I was
there for that.
So, like, how long ago was it that it was... Yeah, it was very dull.
Oh, so I loved it. I absolutely loved going to that museum. The old toys were like amazing, but I also went to a lot of museums with my family, so like that became something that we did. So I always loved going to museums.
Like you're the one that remembers things. So like, did we actually go there in high school? Like that's what I thought.
And it would have been high school. I think it was intermediate school. Like fourth or fifth.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah.
That was the last time I was there.
We were a bit younger. Yeah.
It's changed a bit.
Yeah, I
don't know how long ago was it that they rebranded as the Strong Museum of Play and started building up this whole, highlighting toys and just playing games and, like, basically made it into an awesome place.
Yeah, amazing.
And I haven't been there since. Like, you and I went there with Zerum.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice.
Like, within the last 5 years.
Yeah.
But I feel like they added a lot. Even since then, like to some areas.
Well, since then, the year that we took Zerum there was the year that they, the very first time that they introduced
what at that time they were calling the Videotopia exhibit. And it was before they had moved it upstairs and made it like a permanent installation. It was basically just a big room full of arcade. In fact, it was downstairs in the room
in that room where
there is again an arcade.
Yeah. Yeah.
At that time, that was when they first established. It was either right that summer or shortly after when we brought Zerum that they established the International Center for the History of Electronic Games.
Nice.
I always have to close my eyes and look at the acronym
E-Shield
in my so since then they must just have a warehouse or something where they have basically a rotating array of arcade machines. They are constantly acquiring new ones, seemingly, because they've got enough on display to occupy two full spaces.
Yeah. Two substantial arcades.
Really good selection, too.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Eclectic.
Like, thought out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it was very well thought out.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, and it's, you know, the people that are the curators of the collections seem... And I remember talking about this with Zerum, is that, they seem, obviously, they know what they're talking about. Yeah, they are gamers. They are students of the history of this medium.
Yeah.
The downstairs installation right now, what they're calling the Boardwalk Arcade,
right.
mm-hmm. that's a temporary exhibit. That will only be around this summer.
Oh. But that highlights a lot of, like... ticket games, which we were overloading bony children with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tickets to Argonaut tickets!
And boy, they got those pinwheels.
Oh my god.
They got tickets, what do we do with the tickets? I don't understand tickets.
So we've been there forever trying to get up tickets. Like, let's get some tickets. We get tickets. Okay, we go back. And it took a while for them to play these games and get their tickets. We go over there, they gotta count them out, and there's a line of people. We get them all counted out. And they're like, okay, you have... She told us the amount was like 160 tickets.
I was like, I think it was like 183.
Yeah. Well, that was the first time around.
Oh.
This is the second
time around. Oh, yeah. Wow.
The second time around. She's like, you guys have 180 tickets. Somehow it wound up being like they had 80 tickets each or something this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, guys, you can choose anything down to here. And like, we want the pinwheels, which were the cheapest ticket item to get at like 10 tickets each. And so I was like,
16 pinwheels, please.
Yeah. We'll take two pinwheels. You can just give 70 tickets to the next family. Whatever the math was that worked out, you can just give it as a credit to the next group. And she's like, okay, apparently this happens enough.
Yeah.
Go. And then Luke was so dismayed that he couldn't get his pinwheel to work because he had it crammed up to his nose trying to blow on it and make this thing happen. And you try to show him how to do it, and it blows his mind, and then he doesn't do it.
Pinwheels are
Luke
tough.
Luke is hysterical.
The drive home was like, roll down the windows, Ava, look, it's blowing! And he has this laugh.
He is like 120 miles an hour all the time.
Stop. He does
it's
not
insane.
Stop.
He's
like what you look at, and everybody, every parent you ever meet will say, that's it. That's boys. He's a boy. And that's it. And he just goes off, and he makes his own sound effects as he goes, and he doesn't slow down. He doesn't stop. He's got this laugh where if you think something's really funny, especially watching cartoon, I'll try my best here. And you're like, that's it? Okay, that was really funny, buddy. All right. And I'm just going to look at him like, okay. And Amy's there like, I love it. I think it's so cute. It's great. And it is, but it's still like, wow, Luke, okay.
Yeah. George's daughter was cracking me up. Like, she's just so matter of fact.
Yeah.
It's just like, yeah, Daddy, here's this. No, I don't want you to have that. Here's something.
She's a lot chattier now than she was a couple months ago when we went to the zoo with them. It seemed like Luke and Ava had a good time.
Oh, yeah. They love getting around to play the games, and they do pretty well. They love jumping on Daddy and jumping on Daddy's friends and anybody they can get their hands on. They like to explore a lot. Yeah.
But there's a lot of stuff for them to get into
What else did they check out besides...
They wanted to run off and do a lot of the other exhibits. Like, there's the mock-up of, like, a plane that turns into a stage and a boat and this whole huge playground area. They wanted to go tearing off back into there, but I'm like, well, we want to kind of stick around with our friends and our group and We've got some tokens to burn through yet, and you guys need to eat, because otherwise if you don't eat, I know what you'll turn into, and I don't want to deal with that. So.
Yeah. How do they feel about, like, the different video game stuff? Like, what do you think they're drawn to, like, if anything, attention-wise? I've been
trying to figure that out, because the past couple years in a row now, we've for Christmas, we got them Leapfrog tablets, little kid game stuff, right? So we got a Leapfrog tablet thing, which is great for road trips. Stay occupied with that for as long as some AA batteries will last. And then recently we got them the VTech. It's almost like a console Wii kind of thing.
Yeah.
It has motion controls.
And
a camera thing. They love it. They love playing games when they remember they have it, and they don't, you know, take the remotes and throw them somewhere and lose them, because my kids can be heathens sometimes. But that's life and times with two kids close in age. But they like the racing games. They like games that have a little bit of challenge and movement, but it's... There's no way to pin it down to genre. Yeah. I mean, I've held Luke on my lap, showed him Star Citizen, and he wants to fly spaceships and shoot rocks.
Yeah.
You know? It's anything.
I'm just curious.
Playing Dota 2. What are you doing, Daddy? Like, one of the kids will come down and be not go to bed, and they're like, Mommy said to come down here. Okay, sit on my lap. Daddy's playing this game for a little while, okay? I cannot abandon. I do not want to abandon.
Those were Mommy's orders.
Yeah. What's that guy? What's that person? Did you just die? You just died. You gotta make them die. Daddy, make them die. Okay, I will do that. Okay. Good job, Dad.
Like I will gank them at my nearest convenience.
Like, I'm watching these kids around the arcade. I'm just like, at that age, like, I was impressed with... Like, I was thinking about, like, the first time I saw, like, Darkstalkers and just, like, blew my mind. Or even, like... The first time I saw Mario Brothers or something, I'm just like, do these kids care? Like, I saw a lot of kids, like, loving, like, the weird peripherals and just, like, going up to, like, the submarine games and just, like, shaking the controllers and
they
stuff.
They can tell right away what is more modern and what is old.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And they are attracted to the bigger, flashier color of more modern. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Straight up. That's it.
Yeah.
Like, Asteroids, they don't care. The way I was Googling over and ogling over the Star Wars game, they do not care.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of kids going up to Sega's G-Loc.
Oh, yeah.
Lock.
That sounds like a...
Rapper. That was the jet. Yeah, the jet.
because it looks like a ride.
Sega was really good at those.
Exactly. Yeah. To their credit, they were good at creating like a holistic experience that still holds up.
Immersive for a very simple game.
Right.
An incredibly immersive setup for a very simple game.
Which it communicates even, you know, to kids very effectively, however crude its graphics may seem.
Right,
it easily communicates what's going on in the game.
Unfortunately, my kids only ever got 2 to maybe 3 tickets out of that game, so that was off their radar very fast. They wanted more tickets.
They need that physical reward.
Yeah, they do.
They needed to see a good payout for their
They needed that sense of self-satisfaction in the form of paper tickets coming out.
Yeah.
Quickly found out that it was the one game where all you had to do was swing a mallet at a medium.
Yeah, he's giving them up.
Yeah, like, bang, here's tickets.
Oh, yeah.
And they were loving it. Luke hit a 25, and I thought he was going to poop his pants.
he lost his shit.
I missed it. Just walking backwards, trailing tickets.
He's never seen so many tickets in his life.
Look, I got the most tickets. I want the most big prize.
What the... Give me the biggest pinwheel you got.
Yep.
Whacked Harley Quinn a few times.
Yeah.
Harley Quinn
the only one that would pop up on the freaking Batman game.
Whacked the whole game that had all the Batman villains, and Harley Quinn was the only one that would come up, and only sporadically. Oh. So
you
hear the other voices, and you'd be like, I know I'm hearing the Joker, but that's not popped up. I can't do
I was about to say, it's interesting. I love that I live so near this place, because it's a great opportunity to go to a very curated selection of arcade machines throughout history. But I thought about it. I mean, us in particular, we probably get a lot more hands-on time with arcade machines than your average Joe. And it's everywhere we go, at any convention that may have machines, is always curated to some degree by the availability, the popularity of a machine at the time, and thus its circulation availability, and B, its upkeep. Like, how many machines are there actually that are still functioning, are still able to be repaired? I mean, if that's the best they could get that Batman whack-a-mole game to put on display in a museum, where else are you going to see that?
Yeah. Thing ain't my quarter, though.
I was surprised, like the what was it, the game we played, the Deep Sea Treasure
me and Dave had a lot of fun with that.
It's like House of the Dead under the sea.
Well, he had the shitty one that you had. So I had a lot of
But what I was going to say was, when I first went in there, I pop a quarter in or whatever, and I look at it, I'm like, oh shit, it's stuck in a boot mode. Like, it just had script on the screen. And I walked away, and about less than a minute later, there were two curators there that had the panel open up, and they're working on the thing, and boom, it was done. So, like they're going around and checking it, which I appreciated, too. So.
Well, when you broke the Back to the Future pinball, and, like, and you came back in 5 minutes, and it was fixed.
It's, like, better than most arcades.
And then it started eating.
Just kept making them.
Then it got weird. The sound started glitching, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, because, like, it was...
Yeah, that machine's not good.
But I've never seen that machine there before.
Oh, okay.
That's brand new of, like, a month ago. So, just... I mean, they keep rotating stuff so fresh. Yeah.
It seemed like the machines were in very good condition
for
the most part.
Yeah, I thought so, too.
Like...
I mean, they have to be.
I mean, they gotta be out there and clean and functional and
because you've got kids like mine that'll come up and be like, "Can I play this?"
Not only is it a very high traffic arcade, but in particular, it is an arcade with a very young abuse.
I hope at the very least it has people training to repair these.
Yeah,
because when I was talking to you about the pinball machines and how there's like there's a finite amount of parts and stuff like that, and people like. Things like this that I really hope, like, it will at least allow these things to continue to live for a very long time.
Yeah.
Because they are on display, and...
Man, I bet you 3D printing's going to help a lot with those keeping the machines.
Some, I mean, it's...
In the long term.
I mean,
I'm
the guy who has a 3D printer.
The guy that owns a 3D printer. Yeah.
Like, it certainly will help with some things.
Eventually, as it gets better and better and better.
The problem is you can't print, obviously, metal components. You can't print electrical circuit components.
Yeah, well, I think of, like, a lot of the mechanical flair on a pinball table, like weird figures
stuff prop like that. Yeah, your prop figures like that, because all you gotta do is have a model, and you can do a one-off really quick. And, it's definitely gonna help in that regard of, like, custom... one piece creations that you need, but in terms of like the actual hit panels and things like that,
the rubber bands,
there's certainly ways that you could print up and make it solid enough to actually take a solid steel ball rolling into it,
right.
But at that point, you're probably better off going for a mass production part that you can just mask up or whatever.
I was playing High Speed. Which is like a 30-year-old machine. That was in really good shape.
That was in really good shape.
That machine felt really good.
That's great to play, to get to play in real life, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's... Yeah, I checked that and Monster Bash off my play in real life.
Nice.
Bucket list.
Oh, was Monster Bash that old?
It's 90s.
Yeah. Okay.
Late 90s, even, I think. It's very similar to Medieval Madness when you really look at it.
Yeah.
Do you have a list of... is it arcade or just pinball machines that you...
Pinball machines, maybe. Yeah. Because I play so many of them, like... Because there's a big difference between playing in a pinball machine digitally and playing, it's much more...
The difference is as actually enjoying an arcade cabinet than booting up MAME, it's an even wider gulf between a physical pinball machine.
Yeah.
Just like the depth of the machine and the weight of the ball. And it's
feeling paddles hit.
Yeah. It's just not nearly as easy.
Yeah.
When I play Monster Bash on Pinball Arcade, it's like I can see the table like very clearly, and like I know the shots I can hit very easily. And this, it was like a lot darker because that particular section of the arcade is like very low light, and it has all like the 80s, a lot of the 80s machines in there to more simulate, I guess, an old arcade feel.
It's startling sometimes how dark the play fields.
You cannot see things crystal clear.
Yeah.
What was the what was that racing game from 78 you were playing? The really old one.
Racing game from
the old
Pole Position?
No, one that didn't have a real a screen. It had like a piece of paper being projected.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, the one downstairs.
Rear projection one. Yeah.
No. Oh God, or I don't remember what the name of that projection. Was. I just hopped in it because I'm like, oh, this will be interesting. But yeah, I forgot.
That's great to see. I mean, like, it's not a great game.
No,
it's,
it was the controls were really crappy, and the screen was so blurry and dark that
it's an aesthetic I love when I walked out of it,
because I was straining. But
those ones that look like your car is just plastered and somebody's dragging paper behind.
That one. I'm sorry, I was thinking it was the other thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because that was Starblade.
Not Starblade. Okay.
Yeah, I don't remember the name of that one either.
I don't remember the name of that.
I should take a look, but it was
like Mr. Driver or something.
It's funny because like they had like that was an old style that of toy that I used to see growing up also because you had this thing and it was basically like the road keeps rotating. It's on like a cylinder.
Yeah.
And it looks like you're going around there. But this one had the added like those handheld toys or whatever that you had at home. Never really like judged anything.
Yeah, this one crashed into a tree and didn't
care. Right.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
this one it could quote unquote tell when you were off the road and and there were other cars on there and it's like keep right as much as you can except when passing and like you know, you're trying to follow
obey the rules of the road
you're trying to
be as fast as you can safely
and then like you're clearly on the road and it's like put it in reverse to get back on the road. I'm like, I'm fucking on the road. And so I just basically kept playing. It's like the same loop over and over.
It's just such a cool aesthetic.
It was the neatest, and it didn't light up until you put the coin in.
Right, like, I thought it was broken. That's why I didn't play it.
But I could tell there was another light on. I'm like, I think this might work. So, but it smelled so musty. It was like your head is in there, and I'm just like, my God, this is like half the crap in my basement. Like I'm just inhaling what's terrible for me.
Yeah, they had sort of like a spotlight on driving games going.
Yeah.
So you guys played that two-wheel. Fire engine game.
Yeah, yeah.
That was awesome.
It was fun. I mean, like, we both wished that you had a fire hose control. It was just steering.
Yeah, all you were doing was going through this town, and I controlled the front and the gas, and he controlled
the
back.
And I controlled
the
rear.
It was, like, overhead, black and white, very basic.
Imagine an old fire engine where the thing was so long that the ladder came back with a wheel in there to keep it turning around.
So as you make your turns... Like, and we got good at it. Like,
we were doing pretty good by the end.
Going pro.
The thing that really started getting you was when you, because it's black and white, when there's a gray car parked on in the street and you can't fucking
see it. The same color as the street. They weren't very good about differentiating.
But it was neat. It was really fun.
No, that was fun.
Yeah, I played that panoramic driving game that had three screens.
Ah, yes. Yeah.
And I can't drive standard. I'm thinking like video game standard where it's just like, oh, there's a thing and you shift the car to higher. Like, no, this had like a clutch. That was just like crap. But it was really cool because you had when you passed. I mean, it was basically like Stunt Race FX kind of 3D models and frame rate.
So when you hit the horn, they came off their axle.
I didn't try to do that. But like when you passed, you had to turn the key. At the beginning of a race, you had to turn the key in the issue. You weren't idling because you didn't want to disrupt the greenhouse yet. But, like, so when you passed a car, you'd see it go by, like, over here. I'm waving next to my head while
we're
talking
about that monitor setup on the way here. Yeah. And I was like, I run three monitors at home on my rig, on my computer rig. And
yeah.
I didn't know you did three.
I love it. And I bend it around so I get this, like, peripheral vision, field of view thing going. And if the game is set up for it right, you are in there, man. You're immersed in it, and it's great.
Forget the game when you got email on either side.
Yeah. Sweet. I got code here, email here, message windows here. I'm there.
I didn't get to sit down and play the Mario Kart arcade.
Neither did I. I wanted to.
I saw a couple playing it, and they were like making some comments about like the differences between it and
Mario Kart proper.
So I knew like they were gonna have fun with it, and I watched a little bit, but
I felt
creepy staring over.
The only one I wanted to play, and it was down, was the Grand Track, like 78. It was in that same like area.
It was
like
roped off.
I mentioned it was today's U.S. Gamers Day in history.
Oh,
which I watched this morning, which just kind of was like the first game that was the overhead RC Pro Am style like racer. That's where that all spurned from. But I was really excited to play Time Traveler. I've seen people. Was cool. Yeah, that was a hologram. It's cool, but it's also cool. The dumbest fucking thing in the world. I'm so happy I played it, and I would play it to death. I don't understand what I really did. So this was Sega's early holographic game. You might have seen screenshots of this. It's kind of a weird isometric, like pop up hologram. Like it's all FMV, which is a really weird feeling to shoot actual beings because you're time traveling, and to solve problems, you're just murdering the people that you see in front of you. So when you travel to the far future of 1998 and shoot 1980s thugs like in Miami Vice gear,
and it's almost worse because the camera is panned so far. Like you were seeing them as if they are in an old like Mad Dog McCree the guys that made the Explosion Man game. Shooting game that they made where all the deaths are comical and over the top.
Right.
You can see the actors. Here, it's just you're watching bodies drop.
Yeah. Yes.
It's creepy.
It was really creepy.
You're watching a white man massacre Native Americans.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, the first one was like me going back to cowboy times, murdering American Indians. It was just like, and then it was just like, you fix history or whatever the hell it was.
You got rid of this little problem.
Was it? I think it was you solved the West, right?
Yeah, you solved the Old West. You solved the West. It was you solved something that was like a bad sentence. Yeah, it was like, you solved my God, history.
You came up with the final solution for Native Americans. What is this game? Jesus.
It's Manifest Destiny. I don't know what the hell it was. I mean, it's a game that has a button for reverse cube, whatever the fuck that was.
Reverse cube?
Yeah.
Reverse the cube.
Yeah, you gotta reverse the cube. Okay. It didn't, change my fate, because I tried.
Change your fate. Reverse the cube.
But it was I've been wanting to, play that I've seen people post pictures of, forever. So, that's neat.
Well, down in the boardwalk area, they had the fenced off area with some really old games.
And Death one of Race. Them,
didn't want anyone to die.
No. In the area, that was on the outside.
So the really old ones had
one that was. You looked through like this. It looked like it looked like a torpedo, but you looked through it, and it was like you were an anti-aircraft shooter. So you had to look through like this spy hole, and you were shooting things, and then your score was actually up on top on like a separate circuit board type thing with like a very basic digital display. But it was very old, and next to it they had a copy of the original not press release, but what you would have seen advertising it. And like in the classic style of old advertisements where they're talking up their product, and so it's like here are 12 great reasons to play this game, and it's like, and it's going through them, and they're all just like absolutely ridiculous because they're pointing out exactly what you already see in the other article, but they're listing it, so therefore it must be like from a doctor's perspective as to why this is great. And it was just really funny to see like the way that they advertised it to the public, like it was just because it was gimmicky, really.
Right.
But, it was funny. Yeah. I really wish we could play that because was. I don't. It probably didn't work.
There's a few
for the display.
I mean, like Space War being, or the wasn't Space War? What's the first fucking arcade?
Yeah.
I mean, being behind glass is just like I want to play this.
Yeah.
It looks like an alien from Space Channel 5. I want to play this game. But
that was a Pong machine, right? The one upstairs.
No,
that
wasn't Pong. One?
No.
Yeah.
No, that wasn't Pong.
That's not Pong.
I think it was Space War.
Yeah, that's what it was. Space War.
You're right.
It was a blue arcade cabinet or something.
No, it was the red. It was very
reddish, purplish 70s.
Yeah. It was sparkly, like that sparkly vinyl red.
It was the first thing when I walked in the arcade room.
In the original Videotopia exhibit that we took Zerum to, they had a Pong machine, and it had a similar shape, but it was all white.
Yeah, but they've broken out that area upstairs on the second floor. Like that is way bigger than it was when I was last time.
Cool,
nice.
I think the
last time I was here, the second floor was about the same size for me. But they had moved a lot of stuff around, so that first floor arcade area was not there last time. That was a knight's castle kind of thing for kids to run around and play in.
I love the way that they organize in that it's such a mix of eras, like the stuff that's behind glass.
Yeah.
Because like it was like really cool to just kind of treasure hunt.
Yeah.
Where it's just like you'd go in and you'd find like that one or two things that you wanted to look at amidst, you know, a whole bunch of shit you didn't care about.
Yeah.
Or
Prince of Persia storyboard rotoscope.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
That was amazing.
Well, the same kind of historical displays of like things behind glass, and here it is. Uh-huh. And you look at it, and you can read some interesting details, which are great for our age.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then my kids were off tearing away at some car, honking a horn, and picking flowers, and giving them to everybody.
Yeah.
That was what they were doing, which was great because it gave them something to do.
Yeah.
And if they wanted to look at this, they're like, oh, look at this. Yeah, your daddy used to play on this. Like, okay, that's cool.
It's because some of the stuff that's there behind glass, I'm like, I got that in my house.
Right.
Yeah.
I have that. Like, in particular, they have, there was, you know, about a month or two ago, they announced their inaugural inductees into the International Video Game Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Which was Pong, Pac-Man, Super Mario Brothers, Doom, and World of Warcraft.
Right.
And I think that was it.
Yeah. That sounds right.
And I'm just like looking at, well, like they had the Super Mario Brothers Super Show like DVD set.
Yeah.
This and like just like a bunch of stuff, and I'm like, I have that. Like, oh, Tetris too as well.
Right.
And I'm like,
yeah, but that little bear that had like the Tetris pieces on it, I'm just like, I've never seen that before.
Oh yeah, yeah. Then there's like some crazy shit that they have.
Yeah, exactly.
One thing me and Ben thought was cool is they have a blade from Blizzard out of one of their old World of Warcraft servers that they like retired and all signed
and
donated to the museum.
Yeah.
And they're like, this is important to us because
I've only ever seen pictures of those. It's neat they have one.
Yeah, because it said that there's a limited number of these, and I think it might have even had a number on it, but there was too much of a glare to read. But
I think for the most part, when the Smithsonian had a video game exhibit a while back, it was very publicized. You know, National News was talking about it, but nothing was playable.
Right,
and that what the Strong does is in an interactive medium. You know, makes as much of the collection actually playable to the public as possible.
Yeah.
The displays that are under glass, for the most part, I mean, we are gamers and collectors, and a lot of it is memorabilia that at least a few of us probably going to have. Mm-hmm. But I think that it's interesting when they have memorabilia that the general public would never see, like that server blade.
A lot of the broader bun stuff.
The broader bun donation.
I saw they pulled out some of the old circuit boards from your old arcade cabinets, so you can see that, it is literally just chips stacked on chips stacked on chip, like in a row.
Yeah.
And there's this giant board, and that was your game, and that was it.
Yeah,
they've got a brown box from Ralph Baer under glass.
Really?
Original brown box prototypes.
Because there's a lot of stuff there.
That was the one with the switches.
Yeah. I didn't realize that was
some Apple IIe's under glass.
Yeah.
Well, didn't he bring one of those when at the one convention we met him at?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know which one they had that.
He's got a bunch. He's got a garage.
Yeah, he's
that looks older. Is the Wreck-It Ralph game they had there?
Yeah,
the
Fix-It Felix.
I knew they made it.
I never saw one.
Yeah, because like they up at the top it says 1980.
Yeah, it fooled Ben.
And I'm just like, I thought this was just made up. Like,
Disney
and he's like, no,
such a good job making those things look retro.
Yeah,
and it is a fun game too, though.
Yeah, it is.
Like by itself.
I love that they went for that very particular Nintendo arcade cabinet aesthetic. Because they could have just made a generic arcade cabinet and call it a day,
but they went for this really narrow,
hard.
Yeah,
I was impressed.
Particulars, you know, like even though it's ingrained in my memory, like seeing again the side of the Turtles arcade cabinet, the way that the awful April O'Neil,
with
her squatting awkwardly.
I told Weiss like this was funny because like. I'm used to the arcade setup like they had upstairs. So any place that I would be playing, they were either next to each other or tucked into a corner. Mm. So a lot of times, I didn't see the art on the side. And I'm looking at that, I'm like, what the fuck am I looking at? April O'Neil with her VHS recorder camera and her weird-ass turned arm on her leg.
She's peeing in the street.
Peeing in the street.
She wears yellow.
While two of the turtles are popping up, getting a golden shower. I mean,
and her clothes are, like, two times larger than they should be, too.
Right.
She looks like she got hit by a shrunk ray.
But, yeah, it's like, amazing. The whole museum is, like, lousy with video games. They're just, like, all
They're just all over. It's true. Well, in every exhibit, like, yeah, you know, throughout the superhero exhibit, like there was Lego Batman.
Yeah,
right, right.
At the end of it, and they or just yeah, they just show like here's you know the video games.
Yeah,
a lot of it is when they're highlighting just throughout the museum, like characters and toys yes, and stuff, it's like, yeah, well, this is how pervasive it was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So like, this is how much crossover media. Feel like. Yeah. But yeah. And all through that whole, like in the detective, like the Sherlock area, there was a game yeah, there too, right? Yeah. Yeah. There's just games yeah, hooked yeah, up yeah, all over.
That whole thing just made me happy. That had nothing to do with video games yeah, for me. Yeah. Yeah.
It was just, oh, there's an God, area that we didn't even go into off to, just off to the side near the entrance of the mm-hmm, fish tank that is like there. This is the kinetic oh, yeah, play yeah, area, yeah, the oh, movement play area.
Oh, okay.
And there's we a dance there, dance machine yeah, in oh, there, and there's a Kinect set up.
Is
in
that
there,
is that extra to go in, or was that?
No, all, we just, oh, so we just didn't go, happen to wander.
The museum is just so big
huh, yeah,
that
yeah,
there's sometimes whole sections that you just walk damn, past.
Well, it's one of the things, like, if my kids were there, if we were there when we had first gone in yeah, with yeah, everybody, then they would probably have been like, let's go over here, and they would have tore off going
yeah,
in there.
Yeah.
They do. It's like, we were going to do that when we first got in, but it was like, no, we got to go find, you know, daddy's friends. Uh-huh. We're going to yeah, go down. They're like, oh, okay. And then we went and played video games, and they got tickets, and that was all that. Yeah. Tickets.
Yeah. Tickets.
Yeah.
The whole section when we went upstairs mm, with the Monopoly.
Oh, yeah.
That
yeah,
was, yeah, I was just like, blown away. I'm just yeah, like, to have one of the original round boards, that, yeah, the prototypes that he did up and typed up the cards and everything.
Yeah. That's new, I think.
That's never yeah, seen I, yeah, and I have a feeling that's probably one that would rotate through. Like, I bet they have that.
Yeah, the last yeah, time I was there, but a lot of that upstairs stuff, as I recall, came from one lady's personal collection.
Well, that's Margaret what, Strong. Margaret yeah, Strong.
Like, she just collected toys,
yeah,
and that was her thing.
It was all the toys from her childhood and her brothers, I think, because that, yeah, that's where the yeah, the boy toys came from, I think.
So. Boy toy. Yeah.
But because that's what it was when we were yeah, growing up, was it was you went yeah, upstairs and you had stuff, the doll yeah, area, and then you had like the boys' mm-hmm, toys that you would run, yeah, play yeah, around with and stuff, and that's basically what the whole upstairs yeah, was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's, yeah, it was nice to see some of those mixed in, like those creepy ass dolls all yep, throughout.
Oh yeah,
upstairs.
Yeah,
those are some
like,
creepy.
What was the name? Little Miss No Name.
Little Miss No Name.
Look that's that my up, favorite one.
Look up Little Miss No Name,
which got pulled yes, for being too creepy yeah, in the '60s when they had no idea how creepy things were. Like, yeah. So many creepy things got yeah, passed, but
we don't know back then. Yeah. It was the '60s.
There's yeah, two copies of Trump the Game hanging yes, around upstairs. One, but two.
Can we borrow one and redo it with some of his recent sayings? Like, I think it'd be great.
It didn't even need. Oh, what
it doesn't
was
matter
the
whether you win, or lose. Just if you win.
Just as just yeah, long as you win. Oh my God.
Just a point of order. Little yes, Miss No Name 1965 vintage doll on eBay is selling for $259.
Okay.
Right.
Like, yeah, that's not bad. That's about what I. Yeah. That's not even as creepy.
No, I know, because
that's
like,
not even that bad.
Can you see it?
Oh, yeah, see it.
It actually looks somewhat clean and presentable.
Yeah, that one's. That like one's it, not even as creepy so as like, the one in the museum.
The one in the museum, the eyes are like
giving her a shot.
More
yeah,
in,
she looks
yeah,
cleaned
and
up.
Like the yeah.
Well, because it was specifically made to be like an orphan kind of thing, and it was supposed to be like empathetic. Is right, what the card
like
said, and like
you
it was just
7
sad.
Days to share the dollar is going to come out of the case.
Yeah. Well, no, it was like crying with these yeah, giant black eyes yeah, with no pupils.
Yeah. Well, and I think that might have been the light, yeah, or maybe because they faded. Because in this picture, it looks
like I don't
like,
know.
Shit of my nightmares. Funny. Not even talking
nope,
about this.
Yeah.
Nope. I think it was just projecting nightmare.
Yeah,
yeah, no.
Nope. It's funny because, like, you know, it was right on the corner, and right before it, you had the Raggedy Ann doll. You
right,
had
yeah,
those eyes were black to seal the demons inside.
No lights getting in or out.
Little Orphan Annie doll and
yeah,
stuff
yeah,
like that. And what's her name? The curly
yeah, yeah,
haired
yeah,
girl. I can't think of her name. The real actress.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Lucky Brewster?
No.
Shirley Temple.
Shirley Temple. Yes, thank you. Who often played like...
I know. She was in the 80s.
She often played like, you know, orphan characters or whatever. And like, you know, those dolls look all nice and then they go jump to 65 and you get something fucked up like that.
Yeah. I like the Charles Lindbergh doll.
Yeah. That
yeah,
was,
that was,
Charles
that
Lindbergh
was
doll.
And, well, and the All of the...
All in the Family
all
anatomically
the
correct,
correct
doll.
Doll. Because the show was pushing boundaries so they wanted... Push
yeah,
boundaries.
Oh.
And like, it's just the like Cobra Commander sitting with the Smurfs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. That was just somebody having fun
yeah,
setting up the
yeah,
display.
Kind of locked thing, so you yeah, know that it had to be somebody working there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ah,
Yeah. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
it was
a lot of fun. Yeah, no, glad I finally got to go.
What did I play? I made a short list of them. Eventually, I stopped writing things down.
The Sonic fighting game was one that I didn't expect. Like, when we went to the second floor, that was kind of the one that popped out to me. So it was just kind of like, oh, I've never actually gotten to play this. Like, it wasn't great, but it was AM2, so I'm just kind of like, yeah, I'm going to play this. So I was like, I'll be Sniper Joe. What the hell?
I have it on 360.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not one of the collections, right?
It's, they were sold individually.
But
they released all at once.
Gotcha.
Fighting Vipers and Virtua.
Yeah, yeah.
Too.
Did anyone shake Uncle Sam's hand?
I did.
Ben did.
Yeah. I took a selfie with him, too.
Oh, yeah. What was your fortune? What kind of person are you?
He did pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it wasn't like Olympic.
No, I don't remember.
The funniest thing to me was like you get the like a pretty high like rating and then you're like, oh, I'm gonna take a picture with him. And then you're not framing it with the rate at all. I'm just like, but I thought that was the point.
Full disclosure, I don't do fucking selfies. So like I turned the camera on and it's facing toward you guys. And I spent a solid 30 seconds trying to figure out why I can't get me in it. I'm like, oh fuck. So I press the button to flip it to the front. And then I'm like trying to like maneuver it and all I'm getting is like either my head or his and I can't find the angle. So I'm not good with that.
Jesus. That's why you need a stick.
Yeah, you need a selfie stick. Yeah, guess what I don't
put it on the Christmas list.
For his birthday. They're right around the same time.
The very first thing that I played was that massive Hercules pinball table.
Yes, I took a picture of you doing
that. The largest pinball table ever produced, and they had a cue ball inside being the pinball. So the whole thing, everything moved very ponderous, slow and deliberate. Yeah. It was like playing like an NES pinball game, basically. Which, it was like
that thing doesn't... I mentioned that I'd played a table of it that had like a wiffle ball type thing in it that was a lot lighter.
Yeah.
And that was also very slow. And I think it's just like if you had the paddle strong enough to really whack a ball in a table that size, like you're making a weapon.
Yeah.
Like I wonder if it had a hollow core or something. Oh, excuse me. Just because I don't know if those paddles really could have handled that weight for that long. Because you got to think that it's going to start wearing on it after a while.
It's just such a weird gimmick.
Dave playing the Hercules of pinball is just like,
what arcade were you selling it to? What pizza parlor was like setting up the Hercules inside?
Right.
Although, I mean, you advertise it as such, as like a giant pinball machine, and like, I don't know.
You have a giant pinball because your calzones are so giant, you know, something like that.
I mean, pinball machines really drew people in. My dad always told me about, like, he's really good at pinball machines. I remember, like, when we would come across them as kids, and he'd just be, like, whacking away and really good. And he's like, this is what you play.
We're just nodding at the microphone. Yeah, go ahead.
I played a pinball game called NBA Fast Break.
I saw you play that really quickly.
No, actually, it was really good because it was very much like a 90s kind of medieval madness style of where there's lots of ramps and it feels like you're doing really well. Yeah.
Does it have a button instead of a plunger?
I don't remember now.
Fucking
button. No, it did have a button. It was like a basketball shaped, like here's the free throw.
Yeah, that's 90s.
And then in the marquee, there was an extra flipper up there where you could like make into a basket on a bonus.
I played the Spider-Man pinball a couple of times. Yeah. I thought that was pretty fun. Like because one of the air hockey games was playing the Addams Family song, like the Zamboni version.
Oh, yeah.
Is the Addams Family pinball here?
I was like, high speed, and I was like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah. Because that's a great pinball game.
I was wondering where that came from.
Yep.
I wanted to play some pinball, but the kids wanted to play everything else, so we taught Ava how to play Marble Madness.
Oh,
we tried to show her how to play Marble Madness.
Well, I went crazy on Marble Madness because that's how I play it with the trackball.
Yeah.
And go figure they both wanted to play.
I want to play that. Ava thought she could play Marble Madness one player using both rollers, which is kind of cute, but no, it doesn't work that way, kiddo.
Yeah, it was adorable. Yeah. It's not going to work.
Did you play the Vagabond pinball machine that was downstairs? I think it was
I didn't get a chance to play that one. It was kind of a small old one. Yeah, very old.
It was small and old. And it was so old that it didn't have a digital readout for your score. It was the flip number.
Yeah.
I'm like,
those are great.
That was sweet.
Yeah, I love those.
I always, like... You know, obviously, I think I like the newer style of pinball machines better, but I'm always curious to try the older ones. I was like, all right, that was...
Well, and...
60s era pinball.
And, right. And it had the button you had to push in to pop the ball up, and then you pull the plunger.
Oh, really?
Yeah, those are like, less about...
Yeah.
Like, keeping the ball in the field. That's more about, like, kind of bumping it to guide it down to get more points. Is that how that one was set up?
Or no, was it actually keeping it was a flipper. Okay. Yeah, you were still doing the same old... I mean, it had a lot of the same mechanics older ones as that are like, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. You get, like, 10 balls, and it's weird.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, those but, I mean, weird. It was funny. You, like, one, it was advertised on it, one token or coin, whatever it was, for 5 balls. Mm. Like, and then, you know, we go upstairs, and I'm playing the Star Trek one, and it's 1 coin for 2 balls.
Yeah.
Like...
Inflation, man.
Well, but because those are more based on you get your bonus balls from them, and you keep going. But this one, you didn't get bonus. It was only you only have 5. Down. You're going just doing that.
There was one arcade machine that was basically like an Ultracade. I don't know what the hell it was. It was that was actually free that I just played.
Oh,
was,
really?
Yeah, you didn't have to put a token in. So I saw somebody playing Mega Man Power Battles. I'm just like, I'm gonna play Power Battles. What the hell? And
I saw that. Okay.
Yeah.
Because that kid was there for a long time.
Yeah, he was there
a while.
That
explains why.
Because those are marketed to, like, direct to consumers.
Yeah.
And so they wouldn't have a coin box built in.
Right.
Oh.
Like, that had a ton of... Like, it wasn't just Capcom. Like, they specifically listed the companies on the side. So there was a lot of Taito stuff. And so it was neat. I mean, it was might as well have been a MAME cabinet, but I mean, it's cool.
Yeah. Makes me want to build a MAME cabinet again.
They had that mini Mario pinball... that like I walked away from because I couldn't make it lose.
I should have played it. I suck at pinball usually.
I don't know. Dave lost on it real quick.
I got halfway up that ramp though.
Oh god, that was weird. Like there was a ramp on the side that was really hard to get the ball up, but it had these two pipe like there was a few pipe holes throughout the play field, and they would pop up like right above your flippers.
Yeah,
and it would like shoot it to like
the opposite
side.
Huh,
but. It was just weird because it just made it really hard to I don't because sometimes
it was unexpected timing. It was weird.
Well, I could see the ball in there. I'm like, okay, here it comes, and then I'd hit it out. But sometimes I might hit it like right back into the hole because it's right above the flipper. So it really limited your range where you could shoot because you might just knock it right back in there, and then it'd just go in, and it wouldn't like go to the other side, much like Mario would.
Yeah,
no, it would just pop right back out, and I'm just sitting there like fucking goddamn. Yeah, like it seems like the drop targets weren't working on it, so there really wasn't a lot to do.
I was curious about it because that it was so small, but I feel like it was like they didn't scale everything down to a field. It was too cramped to be a proper game.
It was weird.
Pinball.
Yeah.
What else? Oh, I played some Cruisin' USA.
Yeah.
For the first time in 20 years.
Yeah.
Really?
That game is a piece of shit.
Yeah.
I've always ragged on it, but to be honest, I literally have not played it since it came out. And so I gave it a try, and the frame rate's just garbage. It controls well enough, but it's not as good as any of Midway's other racing games of that era, like
that was
the San Francisco
so many
Rush.
Fucking place.
Oh, like, the saturation was nuts.
That's the thing that I am always amazed at. Like anytime we'd go anywhere that there were arcade cabinets, that was there. It was Cruisin' USA.
Well, that was always at that time too. When you got first place, they'd let you race again for free.
Oh,
the other versions
wouldn't
let you do that. Yeah, I played a lot of that game because I got good enough at a point where you'd start winning the races, and if you got first place, you win a free race. Go to the next one.
Yeah.
Now, did Cruisin' USA have the pin pad that you could do codes on?
I don't think so.
No, that didn't come into way later. I think it wasn't even I don't even think it was a Midway game that came out that series. I think it was something like the first time I remember seeing that was like a Tokyo Drift or something. I think I first ever saw it when I was actually deployed over in Okinawa. I see it a lot.
Dave, I took a picture of you playing that next to the empty Outrun machine next to it.
Dave made a poor choice.
Yeah. Well, I was playing Outrun at the time, so it's deceptive.
That's funny.
A permanent
Outrun
machine
has a better frame rate than Cruisin' USA.
Indeed.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
A permanent machine that they always have, that they it's usually upstairs, but they moved it downstairs with the rest of the racing games, is Sega GT. That's an arcade game where, like, if you get a chance to experience that in an arcade, you do it because there's no home port, and apparently I didn't realize this.
Wait, I swear there was
not
even on Saturn.
All
right.
I thought
there
There is a similarly titled game on Saturn. Okay. But I think that this game is a sequel to the game that got ported to Saturn. It's a Model 3 board game.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm led to understand that even high-powered gaming PC rigs have trouble properly emulating Model 3 games.
Oh, yeah, the older ones, yeah.
Because
they just can't run it. It's if it's not the x86, and if it's not this, then it won't do it.
Huh. Yeah.
They're like, nope.
Interesting.
So you'd have to totally rewrite it and rebuild it. And nobody's like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to waste my time on that. So
I've seen arguments on message boards saying that because some of the tracks from this particular game were included as like bonus tracks in the home ports of Outrun 2 or some later Sega Racing games. And people like showing direct screenshot comparisons like, look, not even like an Xbox could match the texture quality of a Model 3 because there wasn't enough RAM in an Xbox to handle like buffering the texture. Proper, like really detailed arguments about why the Model 3 arcade board is this piece of voodoo magic that nothing is better.
No, voodoo magic, there we go.
But needless to say, like it's the rare Sega racing game that you don't really have any other opportunity to play. So
tangent, I need to link you to a video I was watching. One of the nerdier videos just talking about how the transparency worked on Treasure Games.
Okay. I'd like to watch that.
It's very interesting because it's talking about like the VR1 and the VR2 chip that are like built into the Saturn specifically.
Huh.
Yeah, just how the two visual chips worked, like, and the front layer and the back layer. Yeah.
Because that was a nightmare for 2D developers to get to work.
It was,
Transparency on Saturn were a big, apparently huge. No,
it was very interesting.
Send me that. I'd love to see it.
Yeah. Speaking of nerdy offshoot or tangential hardware nightmares, you know what came out on the eShop yesterday?
What?
3D Streets of Rage 2.
Yes, it did.
It was delayed a week, wasn't it?
Yeah, there was like a, you know, there's a big M2 developer blog about the challenges in making that. The challenges.
Did you buy it like right off?
Of course I did.
Yeah.
The challenges in making Streets of Rage 2 3D was basically in the first level because it's side scrolling. That's fine. And then it goes down in a diagonal and fucks everything up.
No shit. That was.
So it was really funny because like the story is like one
Look how much Sega we're talking about.
I know.
There's a long story about like how you know they decide on the games for that collection because it first started out in Japan and then they wanted to do some more games but they wanted something with more international appeal, which is why the next ones coming up are Gunstar Heroes, Streets of Rage 2, and Sonic the Hedgehog 2, which is really a great trilogy of games. And
they're doing Gunstar Heroes.
Yeah, they are.
I am excited. But just like they finished, I believe it was the 3D Streets of Rage conversion, and like one of the lead guys was just like, I'm going on fucking vacation. Comes back after 2 weeks. He had made Streets of Rage 2 in 3D, the first level of it. Just he had gone, that's what he did on his vacation, was work out how to do that. So then they're like, okay, we know we can do it. And then it was just a matter of, you know, it coming back around.
I love them too.
Yeah, it's so. Wizards. I got to buy so many more of those.
Did you buy the Gradius collection?
I already own it.
You already own it?
On PSP. Okay.
Yeah.
The reason I both bought it.
Yeah, I
haven't gotten to play it, but.
Because that's an M2 development as well.
Yeah, I got that one.
I'm just, I love that Galaxy Force.
Yeah, 3D Streets of Rage 2. I mean, obviously, it looks really cool. Like, when you go into the bar towards the end of the first level, like, the lights are in the foreground, and that looks really cool.
Nice.
And it has, you know, the Rage Relay mode, where when you die, it switches characters.
Oh,
that's cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And they also have a casual mode where you just murder things. Like, I turned that on without noting it, knowing that I had done it. And I, like, suplexed the whip lady in the bar, and she dies in one hit. And I'm like, whoa, I wonder what I did there. And then I killed the first boss in one throw. And I'm like, okay, there's some bullshit happening here. What did I do?
Well, probably because M2 has those weird menus where you don't really know what's going on.
I don't know what I'm doing. But, yeah, there's, like, a lot
we
of,
were
like,
talking about the,
you know, emulation, you know, options in there, and it's another great M2 port. And right on the title screen, it says "Music by Yuzo Koshiro."
Yeah,
nice.
No, I will get that.
Yep, take my money. Shut up and take it.
Like that and Shovel Knight are just waiting for me. It doesn't even have to be on a sale. It's just
I gotta get some more of those 3D classics because they
they're just high quality. Amazing. I just
didn't get my 3DS open during that last sale.
Yeah,
it'll happen again.
Oh, you didn't get any on the sale?
I just didn't get to open up my 3DS and go to the eShop. Whatever chaos filled weekend of my life that was.
Right.
Well, I don't know. Was a kid.
It wasn't that weekend. But, who knows what else is coming up. Were the parents coming up? Did I just have a lot to do?
Right.
They have someplace to go. This thing
called adulting, and it sucks.
Yeah. Fuck that shit.
Responsibility.
What's that?
Having to care for an infant.
I dove back into Shovel Knight, actually, last week, because I still haven't finished it. I got about halfway through, and then, picked up something else. And
I'm still dying to play that fucking game.
Oh, it's so that's the music. Yeah. I put DJ Cutman's remix of Strike the Earth on my workout playlist, and just, I always pick it first, because,
it gets you amped up.
I've been listening.
Gotta pay for some money for his album as well.
I've been listening to Mighty Switch Force, both of them, a lot, so.
Oh, those,
especially 2 has come up a lot since I beat it, but 1 is still very good. Like, it's funny because, I swear the reviews were higher for 1 than 2, and I think 2 is probably a better game and a better soundtrack, but they're both awesome. That is a great series.
I still haven't played 2, even though it's on my 3DS, I think.
So I don't know what I
can look. I've listened to the soundtrack a lot.
Yeah.
Was 1 or 2 on the Nindie bundle?
1.
Okay, that's what I got then.
Yep.
Haven't beaten great it game. I went back through it after, because, all my data got lost when I transferred over to my new 3DS XL.
Bullshit.
So I played through all of 1 and I think most of 2 already.
But, just want to note, while I'm thinking of it, when this podcast goes up, Summer Games Done Quick will be going on.
Oh, really?
Yep. Yeah,
I didn't know they were doing a summer one.
Yeah, they do. Okay. They do awesome games in winter, which is kind of the big one.
Yeah.
And then summer games, and that starts on Sunday or yesterday, I guess. When you hear
so, do they do all summer themed games?
No, they just another epic summer long marathon.
I was thinking of California games.
Yep, I was just gonna say California games.
Yeah, no, I don't
watch
really
a guy playing hacky sack.
What they do to
hitting seagulls?
I'm not sure if they really do anything to distinguish it, or whether it's like a. I think I'm pretty sure it's the same charity. I mean, it's a lot of the same runners.
I feel like they changed up charities between years.
They might
with the winters.
I feel like it's Doctors Without Borders, But they've done cancer.
They did cancer this year.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. Maybe that's what they do during summer. I don't know. I was watching some runs on YouTube just to, pregame for it. I was watching a really great run of Super Ghouls and Ghosts where the category the guy had given himself is he had to pick up whatever weapon dropped.
Oh, that's great.
And it was nonstop scythe, crossbow, scythe, crossbow, scythe, crossbow. And he was losing his shit. But it was hysterical. And I'm watching him play this game, and I'm just like, I can't fucking believe he's getting through this game. I'm like, I can't believe I got through this fucking game. Like, this game is a nightmare. Holy shit.
One of the main websites did a top 10 hardest games or whatever, and that wasn't on there, and I went, this is worthless.
It's possible. Yeah.
I don't know.
You just, look at some of those levels in the random spawns, and it's just like, oh my God.
Yeah. No, the charity crossed my mind because I bought the Samus shirt, which is a, save the animals, and in the dark it says kill the animals. But I'm just kind of like, I bought a save the animals shirt for cancer. All right.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I bought this Chrono Trigger shirt I'm wearing from last year's Summer Games Done Quick.
Was that from Summer Games?
I believe it was, yeah.
Okay. I have that shirt as well.
Yep.
I tried to not wear a shirt that I knew you had, just in case today. Because I almost wore the Jet Grind shirt.
I almost wore my, fuck, was it? The Pit-Boy shirt, or whatever, from Fallout. With the
you got a Fallout?
Is your shirt purple?
Oh. Yes, it is
purple. Are you cosplaying as Clyde? Your character from
a more modern version.
I'm hoping some people at the museum will recognize
you guys. I'm excited to cosplay for your first trip to Strong in a long time. V-neck Clyde.
Shave.
Nah, I didn't really.
Shut the fuck up.
Shave.
Interlude. Does anyone want some beer?
Yes.
I'm offering up James beer.
I don't know how we're doing podcasts. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's a good podcast.
Yeah, I think we did pretty good. I mean, we had a topic.
If George shows up, we could do the
fuck him.
Stitch on and addendum. We could come up here and do an extra 20 minutes.
Love to do that.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. If not, then
we'll call it a show.
Day.
Yeah.
Guys,
do we put this under triple radio or retro?
I said triple radio.
I know it's under both. I know it's just kind of funny.
Yeah. Well, I could just check all the boxes. You can find it depending on what you're looking for.
Yeah. What the fuck? Just go to fatgatsby.com.
Yeah. Go to fatfuckinggatsby.com.
What the fuck's wrong with you? Fucking go to fatgatsby. Get fat fucking fucking.
And
oh, that's an extra joke for Fat Gatsby, right?
Yeah. Extra.
We're all gonna have dinosaur barbecue farts.
Oh, yeah.
I was already burping up some of that smoked brisket. It was delicious.
Oh my god. I have some chicken left. It's
just that pork. We should record our farts and put it underneath the retrocast.
Okay, yeah, no, that's good. That's good.
Because it'll be retro, because we ate the food and now it's what?
Listen, my farts
it's games of future past.
Protein powder that will melt your microphone. Right? Yeah, I don't want that. Yeah.
Like, dinosaur barbecue pulled pork just, like, melts in your mouth.
Yeah.
Like, it puts all other pulled pork to shame.
It really does.
And I forget. That it's just like you eat it, it's just like
so
good.
All right, so good. I need that fridge.
We're hungry. We need beer. Go to the Strong Museum of Play and then go down the street to the dinosaur.
You can literally walk there. It's probably easier.
Yeah, we should.
It's only hour parking, and you're not going to be in and out of the dinosaur in an hour.
Now, talk about your favorite arcade games that we didn't talk about, because I've been in a really big arcade mood lately.
Like, and then go catch Spamalot at Jiva Theater, 75 Woodbury Boulevard.
And don't go watch Pixels.
Yeah, well, we can all agree, fuck Pixels.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Oh, my nuts.
Oh, my back.